It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful time that we have to come together, and I'm glad that you've joined us today. For the several times, I've lost track of how many times we have read these same verses of Scripture, and the reason I continue to read these verses of Scripture so that you can keep track of where we are in the Scripture. We're in the book of John, chapter 5. And we're going to read once again verses 26 through 29. Now, I hope that you're not getting tired of this, because it has led us from the resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation, down in the 29th verse. We have taken a few weeks here and went to the great white throne judgment, and we've also come now from the great white throne judgment, which is for the lost, to the judgment seat of Christ, which is just for the saved. And so last time we were together, we've kind of gotten started on that just a little bit, and I would like to continue to do so this time. So please, if you would get your Bibles open to John chapter 5, verses 26 through 29. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to hear from you. You can add just the box number to that address, if you would, please. Box 43, and the zip, of course, is 62341. So please, that you would drop us a note if you'd like to. I'd love to hear that you've just come to know Jesus, or you're growing in the Word of God. Please, that you trust in Him today. Now, as we have opened our Bibles to John chapter 5, we'll begin once again with verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, we love reading your Word. We love studying your Word. Help us now, Father, to know your will and way as we study that. Help us to grow, Lord. Forgive us for our failures and our downfalls, and draw us closer unto you, Lord. Please thank you for this day. Thank you for this Word. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were together last time. We looked at some verses of Scripture concerning the judgment seat of Christ. And we found that in Romans chapter 10, chapter 14, verse 10, it tells us, "But why doth thou judge thy brother, or why doth thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." You know, it's awful easy for us to point our finger at each other and find each other's faults. But we need to be so careful that, and not spend so much time to do that, but spend more time in looking at our own lives and setting ourselves right with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. As we looked at the verses of Scripture many times, the resurrection of life will be the first resurrection. The resurrection of damnation will be the second resurrection. The resurrection of the dead, the second death. There are many things that involve the resurrection of damnation. There are many things that involve the resurrection of life. In order to be a part of the resurrection of life, you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. If you have ignored the call, if you've heard this program before, you've listened over and over again, but you have ignored to come to the Lord Jesus, please today that you would trust in Him. If you ignore it, I promise you then that you will have part of the second death. I promise you that you will have part of the resurrection of damnation. These two are 1,000 years apart, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. So is the judgment seat of Christ. Not only the resurrection, but also the time of judgment. That too is 1,000 years apart. You have the great white throne judgment, which will take place all the way down to the end of the millennium. The judgment seat of Christ is something that's going to take place during the tribulation. And so if you have everything together in your mind, we first of all have this time right now, the church age, which came in at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt the hearts of every believer that started at Pentecost. Then for 2,000 years now, we have been during the time of the church. At the end of the church will be a time that the church is taken away. And when I say the church, I mean every believer. Those that have died, the graves will be opened up. Those that are alive, they will also meet those that came out of the grave, that received their glorified bodies. So will we, and we will go into the presence of the Lord. And so that is the beginning, the end of the church age, and also that will usher in the tribulation. There will be 7 years of tribulation. The church will not be present here. There will not be one believer that goes into the tribulation. There will be folks saved during the tribulation. There will be 144,000 witnesses for the Lord Jesus out proclaiming the true gospel, not the fake phony gospel that many do today, not a watered-down gospel. It will be a powerful word. It will be the word of God, and it will reach thousands and thousands of people during this seven-year tribulation, but it will be an awful time upon this earth. The end of that tribulation is something that some of you may have heard of, you may not have, and that will be the Battle of Armageddon. As that battle is underway, the Lord Jesus will bring it to a close at the end of that 7 years, and he will be the victor. And at that time, then, he will come down with us and will begin 1,000 years with him. And that's what we call the millennium. At that time, then, for 1,000 years, Satan will be bound from the beginning of that, from the end of the tribulation, all the way to the end of the 1,000 years, and then he'll be loosed for a season, and he is going to just bring all of his fury and power against this world at that time. There'll be a difference during the 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Different than now. Now men try to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and they do it in such an ungodly way that we have no hope. If they would rule with the direction and the leadership of the Lord, we would see this country to be so much different with and in the Word of God, not by our own philosophy and our own way, as most men and most churches operate under that today, I'm afraid, instead of under the leadership and the Word of God. Please that you listen. And so now we very quickly have went through the calendar of events. At the end of the millennium, after Satan has been loosed for a season, then will be the great white throne judgment. All those that have died and all those that are alive that do not know Jesus will be cast into the lake of fire. Many preachers don't preach that anymore either. There will be a time. You'll be in a place of torment the second that you die. Your soul will be there. Your body will be in the grave. And that body and soul will be reunited. And that'll come at the great white throne. You will stand before Jesus, and then you will bow to him. But by you bowing to him, it'll be too late for you to trust him as Savior, because it'll be over. Anyone that enters the great white throne, it's too late. It's too late. At that time, all lost will be cast into the lake of fire. Now let's back up quickly to the judgment seat of Christ. Got the church. We have the rapture of the church. Church taken off the earth. The tribulation begins. We will have a wonderful time. We will have a time. Some of it for some of you will not be wonderful. The scripture tells that there'll be a suffering of loss at the judgment seat of Christ. This is to believers. You think you can just trust in Jesus and use him as a fire escape and go on your merry little way? No, there's a time. There's a time that it'll be looked upon for what you have done in return. And I don't really mean it. You would want to, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to do something for Jesus? Because he has done so much for you. He has taken your sin away completely. As far as the east is from the west. God doesn't see a sin. One sin left in your life. He doesn't see one. Even though we still live in the flesh. And we still act much like the world. all our sins are taken away. And the only thing God sees, God the Father sees, is the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. That's all He sees. And it's perfect. Now, why wouldn't you, for all that Jesus went through upon the cross, as He died on that cross, as He took your place and became perfect sacrifice for you, all that's taken place, why would you not want to serve Him and to honor Him and to love Him? Why would you want to just warm the pew and come and go as you like to and work and work and try to make gain in this life and ignore Jesus? When you've come to the cross, trusted in Him, He has done all that for you. And you know it because you've received Him as your Savior. But you've gotten tied back into the world. Now, I said last time we were together that we were going to look at some things that please the Lord Jesus. There will be rewards handed out. And we looked at that this last time we were together concerning what's going to take place. Let me read the Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. There's going to be rewards handed unto those that are saved. But not just in general. He's not going to honor us just because we trusted in Him. The honor and more of a fellowship than an honor. You know, when you really care for someone, you really love someone, you'll do anything for them. You'll work very hard for them, and you'll do things that please them. Well, do you love the Lord Jesus? Why do you not want to do things that please Him? Why do you do everything that the world still does? And you just give Him kind of an afterthought for your time. It's leftovers. We're to give God our first. He gave us His first, His only begotten Son. Why can't you give Him your first? Not seconds or thirds or fourths. Or maybe not at all. Here are some things that we know the Lord Jesus loves. We know that God the Father loves. We have many verses of Scripture here, and we're going to read down through them. These things are called crowns. And it's not that we can put, you've heard people say that they'll, you know, just be happy with an old cabin on the hill. You know, you don't need a mansion. Well, the way you're serving the Lord and the way you're staying with the Word of God, that's probably all you're going to have is a shack up in heaven. And you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to bow before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to know Him to be Lord. And you're going to be so ashamed because what you've done to His Word, how you've ignored His work, how you've not led anyone to His Son Jesus. We have things listed here, and I'm going to read them quickly, and we're going to go back one at a time because I want you to understand what is pleasing unto the Lord. And things at the judgment seat of Christ that's necessary. And as we listen to these things, these items that Jesus loves, that God the Father loves, that the Holy Spirit loves. As we look at these things, we will find them to be things that aren't, there is no selfishness to us. It's things that please the Lord. You'll find that these, and I just have five of them listed here, that there's things that will bring honor unto God. We have first of all the incorruptible crown. We have next the crown of life. We have next the crown of righteousness. We have next the crown of glory. And we have next the crown of rejoicing. These are things that are listed in the Word of God that they are pleased with, that will bring honor. And as we read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll remember, we have gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. We could call these gold, silver, and precious stones. A lot of people believe that they do things and they get jewels in their crown. The Word of God just speaks here of crowns. Listen to some things that God is pleased with, that brings close fellowship between us and our Father. First of all that I listed was the incorruptible crown. If you will go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. First Corinthians 9:25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh, to live a holy life, a separated life, that will be one of the crowns. The second, if you would go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It tells us to fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life to endure temptation, to not worry about the suffering, to handle the tribulation, the crown of life. Next, if you'll go with me to 2 Timothy. These are things that are so clearly listed in the Word of God that is pleasing unto the Lord. Isn't it important that we know what's pleasing unto the Lord? So that we may receive these crowns, that we may bring it unto the feet of the Lord Jesus and lay it there, showing Him our love towards what He has done for us in some small way. There's no way that we can ever repay the debt that He has taken care of for us. And He knows that. But to be in fellowship with Him and to show Him this love, to show Him that we appreciate what He's done. And this is a small token of our appreciation, just a small evidence of our love. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing. Crown of righteousness. Are you looking for His coming? I talk about the rapture of the church always. He could come any time. Any time. Are you excited about it? Are you looking forward to it? Or are you saying, not yet, Lord. Not yet. Crown of righteousness. Those that love and look for His coming. Next we have the crown of glory that I listed. If you would go back to 1 Peter. I'm looking all these up with you. I hope that you're taking time to. The crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. The scripture says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The crown of glory will be to those that preach and teach the word of God. That preach and teach, stay with the truth, not follow after these false teachers, false preachers, but follow after the word of God and proclaim it. You will receive the crown of glory, those that teach and preach the word. Crown of rejoicing. We can find that in two locations. We'll go back first of all to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Be the crown of rejoicing. Find Psalms. Proverbs is right after that. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, back to the New Testament. If you don't know your Bible, why, please just look back in the index. You'll become familiar with it as we continue to use it day after day. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. You'll find 1 Thessalonians right in front of 1 Timothy. We have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 19. And what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The soul winner's crown. The soul winner's crown. To be busy bringing people to Jesus. To be looking for his coming. But always be working. The soul winner's crown. Now, as a believer, today most of this time together as we've studied this has been directed towards believers, as last time was as well. We've talked a little bit concerning the great white throne judgment. We've talked about things that the Lord would be pleased with when we meet him at the judgment seat of Christ. Those things, again, is the incorruptible crown. That's one that will be given to those that live a holy, separated life. We have the crown of life, which is the ones that endure temptation, trials, tribulation, and stay faithful. The crown of righteousness, those that are awaiting his coming, excited about it, looking forward to it. The crown of glory, those that preach and teach the word. The crown of rejoicing, a soul winner. Now let's leave the term out, like incorruptible crown, crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of glory, crown of rejoicing. Let's look at what all those, how we receive those. If we live a holy life, we take whatever trials and tribulations and temptations are there and we ignore them and we walk after the Lord Jesus. We look each and every day awaiting his coming, knowing that it could come any minute, any hour, any day, and we're prepared and we're excited about it, looking forward to meeting face to face with the Lord Jesus and meet him in the air. We're spending our time not only living this separated life, but we're also preaching and teaching the word in every opportunity that we have. And in order to preach and teach the word, that also involves us in telling people that Jesus saves. Because, you see, we love souls, so we should be a soul winner. We should bring people to Jesus. Now, those things that I've just listed, I'm sure that's your life. That's the way you live and that's the way you act, isn't it? I've read the verse of Scripture for you. I've read the things concerning that are pleasing, these crowns that God has listed in His Word, had men to pin it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. These works, these crowns, they will be given at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember back in 1 Corinthians, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now these five that I have listed would involve most of your life if you're serving the Lord Jesus. Anything else that is not listed, that I have not spoken of, will probably be wood, hay, and stubble. How much of your life is set upon these that I've listed? How much do you enjoy walking each day after the Lord Jesus? Or are you so taken by yourself, involved in yourself, and so prideful that you have not found any time to serve the Lord? You have not found any time nor money to help the work of furthering the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God has given us the local church. We're to be busy serving Him, not warming a pew, not just coming in. If you would come into the house of God and do as you have been doing the last year or 6 months or 10 years, if every member was like you, would there even be a church? Would there be a place to come? Would there be a preacher to preach? Would there be lights on? Would the building even still be standing if everyone was as you? A wholly separated life. A life that stands and takes temptation and tribulation. A life that's waiting His coming and anxious to see Him. A life that involves the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. A life that loves to tell people about Jesus. Those are all things that we have listed in the Word of God that God is going to be pleased with. They're going to be handed out at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, there is a judgment for the saved. There'll be no lost there. All saved. You will not lose, as the Scripture tells us back in 1 Corinthians. It'll all be tested by fire. The works will be burned up, if it's wood, hay, and stubble. If it's things you've done for your own good and your own glory, they'll be all burned up. But you're going to be saved, so as by fire. There's going to be many a people that have trusted in Jesus and have never done anything in praise and honor to Him. You don't have to show it to people. It doesn't have to be something that I have to record. But you better know that the Lord Jesus is keeping track of every book. Yes, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord for that. But what about your life? My friend, you need to come to Jesus. You need to trust in Him today. Please do not face the great white throne. Please do not face the second death. If you'll come and be a part of the first resurrection, then you can be part of the judgment seat of Christ. Let's honor and praise His name. Believe in Him today. What are you going to do about Jesus?